I know this, that if we're saved at all, it's going to be by the sovereign grace of God. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. And we use the term free grace and sovereign grace to distinguish it just from grace. When you hear anybody talk about grace, there's always conditions on it. If you do this, if you do that, grace is free. It comes unwanted, comes unmerited, comes undeserving. And if it wasn't, it wouldn't be grace, would it? I so appreciate the privilege of coming and being here and with you all and Brother John. And I sure love him and love his preaching. And enjoyed the service so far. Oh, that man gets to your heart quick, don't he? He lays you bare. The Word of God's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and spirit and thoughts and intents of the heart. And that's what the gospel does. It's just like a butcher. It just lays you open. Ah, thank you, Bruce. Thank God for you. Turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I'm going to bring a message. The new birth. The new birth. If you could not enter into what Brother Bruce was saying and into these songs, it would be because you haven't been born again, haven't had the new birth, haven't been regenerated. But here in these first 8 verses, I'll try to say a few things about them. There was a man of the Pharisees, going to distinguish him, not just a man, but a man of the Pharisees. His name was Nicodemus, and he was a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and every time he's always mentioned the same that came to Jesus by night, and said unto him, Rabbi, called him Rabbi, teacher, we know thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Our Lord answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? The Lord Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? How can these things be? Our Lord Jesus here is telling a man. This man started out by flattering the Lord Jesus. Came to him by night. Started flattering. Rabbi, we know you've come from God. We know that. Ain't nobody can do the things that you do. Talked about his miracles, flattering. My Lord Jesus just cut him right off. Never addressed him in any way. Says, only thing he said to him, you must be born again. You can't see the kingdom of God without being born again. If all you see is a teacher, if all you see is a rabbi, if all you see is a miracle worker, you ain't seen nothing. You ain't seen nothing. And that's all people saw in Christ, a teacher, miracle worker, a man sent from God. And I tell you, that's what people do. And that's what he said. He says, you know, man can do no miracles except God be with him. And our Lord says, if you want to talk about miracles, I'm going to tell you about a miracle that must be done for you. You must be born again. And that's something you can't do for yourself. And there's an order, and when we follow in the Scriptures, there's an order followed by God in this new creation. And that's what I want to talk about, this new birth, because it's a new creation. It's God bringing into existence a person who never existed before. It's a new life. It's a new creation. Now you keep John and look with me over in Genesis, just a minute. Genesis chapter 1. I'll take a minute trying to set this up a little bit. Genesis chapter 1. And there's an order. And it's pictured for us here in the creation. God is such a God of order, and He don't leave us confused or trying to figure out what He's doing. People wonder, I wonder what God's doing. I tell you what He's doing. He's doing what He wants to. Does what He wills to. You said it. You read it in the Psalm. You know, He's in heaven. He does whatsoever He pleases. I don't ever wonder what He's doing. He's always doing His will. But look what it says here. This is what has to happen. In the beginning, God created. And that's what God has to do for us. He has to create a man. If any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creation. Must be created. And as God created, He got to create that new existence. He got to create that life in the soul of a man. And not only that, and then the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Chaos, utter chaos and darkness and voidness. And that's the way the human soul is. That's the way the human heart is. Outside of Christ, it's dark, without form and void and chaos all about it. Chaos all in it. And there's darkness upon it. And not only, you know, the scripture says that the light shined in darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. We not only are in darkness, but the scripture says we are darkness outside of Christ. It's not we just dwell in it, but we are darkness itself. And then look what it says here. And the Spirit of God. That's what's got to happen. There we are in chaos. There we are in darkness. There we are without form and void and chaos on our souls. And the Spirit of God moved. And it come and it brooded over the waters. And it came and moved over the waters. And the Spirit of God, as you sung in that hymn, the Spirit of God must come in power and move on that heart. Move on that soul. And if the Spirit of God don't come, and then watch what happens. The Spirit of God begins to move. And God said, let there be light. As God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, He has shined the light in our hearts to give the knowledge, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And God said, let there be light. And guess what? When the Spirit of God moved, when God said, let there be light, light comes on. You ever seen light come on anybody while you was preaching? You see it in their eyes. And oh, watch what happened. And then what it said is God saw the light that is good. Oh, that work that God, that light that He puts in you, that light that He creates in you, that life that He puts in your heart, He says it's good. And watch this. And He divides the light from the darkness. He separates us from the darkness. And we show forth the marvelous praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His glorious light. Now back over in John 3. So that's, you know, that's just a little illustration. But I want to talk about the utter and absolute necessity of the new birth. Our Lord Jesus Christ told him in John 3:3 here, He says, told Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And down in verse 5, He says, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, when our Lord Jesus Christ says a man must be born again, except he be born again, when He says he can't see the kingdom of God, I tell you so many things He can see. He can see church membership. He can see tithe paying. He can see coming to the altar. He can see praying through. He can see free will. He can see making a decision. He can see joining the church. He can see shaking the preacher's hand. But he cannot see the rule of God in Jesus Christ. He cannot see the power and glory of God in Jesus Christ. And not only that, but it says he can't enter into the kingdom of God. He can't enter into this life everlasting. He can't enter into this place where the realm of the Spirit of God is, this spiritual realm. And right it is that's why Nicodemus says, well, how can a man be born when he's old? Now, some of us getting old. We can't be born again. We can't go with like what he said. How can I be born when I'm old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb? And our Lord Jesus said, except you be born of the water and the Spirit. And that's what he says. He says, you know, says you can't enter the kingdom of God because your flesh. And what he says in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that's all it can ever be. That's all the flesh can ever produce. And that which is born of the Spirit. You know, Job said it this way. He says, can a man bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Can he that's born of a woman be born clean? David said, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin was I born, brought forth from my mother's womb. And beloved, that's the way man is. He's that that's born of the flesh. You'll never be anything but the flesh. If you could go to your mother's womb, if you come from your mother's womb, you're coming out just like you was the first time, the second time, the third time. You're going to be the same every time you come out. You're going to be flesh. And flesh means Adam's nature, fallen nature, sinful nature, corrupt nature, devilish nature, hateful nature, enmity in your mind against God. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. A man's born a sinner. You know, people say, well, he's going to be lost. He's born lost. He's born a sinner. Born without God. Born without Christ. Born without righteousness. Born without an understanding of either of them. Of God, Christ, of sin, righteousness, or anything. He has no understanding of them. And that's why it says, being under darkened, understanding being darkened through the ignorance and blindness that's in them. And all this fenced off from Sinai. God was, and oh, when God came down, they fenced off Sinai and everybody stood back. And God hid Himself behind the veil when He made that tabernacle. And He says nobody can go behind that veil but the high priest once a year. And that's what He's saying here. No man can come into the presence of God because of flesh. You've got to have a high priest. You've got to have somebody come into God's kingdom to get into that presence of God behind the veil. You've got to have the new birth or you can't get into the kingdom of God. And oh my, man's away from God. He can't come there. Only the Holy Spirit can bring him there. This is true now and always will be. God's got a prepared place for prepared people and unregenerated men. And I see them all the time and you do. I've got folks that I've been preaching to for years. They just ain't got it yet. It's obvious they ain't got it. Just ain't got it. Unregenerate man has no desire, no love, no knowledge, no appreciation for the things of God. If you take a, get you a big old gold tray, solid gold tray. Get you a big old gold tray. Get you a bunch of pretty flowers, fresh flowers. Set your prayer down, put your flowers all around it. Get you some perfume, your finest perfume. Get you some music. Get somebody like Jason, just a mic, it just makes them piano tickle. Get that music going real good. Then get you a fish. Lay him among those flowers. Put that perfume on him. Get that music going. Let me ask you something. Will it make him happy? Will it make him contented? Will he enjoy himself? Will he enjoy the music? Will he enjoy the perfume? Appreciate the flowers? Of course not. He's out of his environment. He's out of his element. And that's exactly the way a man is apart from the new birth. Huh? Ain't that right? Put all the flowers you want to around him. Perfume him. But he just cannot relate. He's out of his environment, huh? And that's the way the natural man is. And look what our Lord said here. What is the character in the new birth? There's a lot of confusion about this. I had a fellow come to my office one day. He asked me, he said, can I bring my Bible and show you a few things? I said, oh, I'd love for you to. Love for you to. So he brought his Bible and he's going to show me things. Show me how bad I wrong I was. He says, you know, I said, I read the newspaper, hear you preach, and said, you know, you think, as far as I can tell, you think you're the only one saved, knows the gospel in this whole country. But nevertheless, he brought his Bible, and this is one of the things he wanted to talk about, the new birth. The new birth. And he says the new birth was something that he did, that he, by praying through, going to an altar, and having an experience that he got the new birth that way. And I says, no, you got it just backwards. You got the cart before the horse. It's the new birth. He said he got the new birth by repenting and believing. I says, no, the new birth comes, then you repent, then you believe. And that's why there's so much confusion about the average person thinks the new birth is something that he by himself can affect. By moral reforming himself, by becoming religious. And nobody was more religious than Nicodemus. He was a master of Israel. He was a ruler of the Jews. And that's why our Lord asked him, he says, you're a master of Israel and you don't know these things I'm talking about? The Old Testament is full of the new birth. I mean, you take the infant cast out. That's the new birth. You take Ezekiel 36, the new heart, the new spirit. That's the new birth. You take Noah coming out on the new ground, new earth. That's the new birth. That new birth, the Old Testament's full of the new birth. And here this man is, he says, you mean to tell me that you're a master of Israel and you don't know these things? But people think all you got to do is make a change of heart. A person told me here recently, yes, I said, I hear that you think the Lord done something for you. He says, yeah. I said, I thought it was about time. And it just grieved me. I thought it was about time. Oh, then it's about time. It's a change of heart. And the Scripture don't know anything about a change of heart. That's an anti-scriptural. That's anti-Christ. The heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I don't even know more. Only a fool trusts in his own heart. What then is the new birth? Well, let me tell you something. It's not God removing, taking something out of the sinner. He never removes anything from the sinner. No, no. What it is God imparting something to the sinner. Imparting life where there was death. Imparting a new nature where there was a fallen nature. Imparting a new heart where there was a heart of stone. And in those, you know, and beloved, it's the impartation of a new nature. In my first birth, I received the nature of my parents. And I'm so much like my daddy. If my daddy is here, you would say, boy, that boy's like his daddy. I'm serious. I'm so much like him. I got so much of his gestures and so many. I walked in on one of my aunts one time and she says, boy, Don Bell. I said, boy, because I'm just like him. And the worst thing about it is I get the bad part. And my mother, I get the worst parts. I'm serious. You think about it. You get their looks, but you always get the parts about them that you despise. Now, you think about it. Most of you women say, boy, I don't want to be like my mama. In some ways. Now, don't tell me. And you men, now I know some of you want to be just like your dad. You should. But, oh, I got the worst parts. I got the bad parts. When your parents ain't got no good parts, you can't get nothing but bad parts. And that's, and I'm telling you the truth about that. But in my first birth, I received the nature of my parents. I look like them, act like them, have the same gestures. I do things with my lips my dad does, do things with my ears my dad did. Hold my hands the way he did, walk exactly the way he did. Walk exactly the way he did. And in the new birth, I receive the nature of my new father. It's a new nature. And where that nature is, you get the nature of God. We're made partakers of the divine nature. The Holy Spirit begets within us a spiritual nature, a nature that can relate to God. We're like that fish. If you can make that fish have a human nature, then he'd be enjoying that flowers and all that. But you can't. But what God does, he don't take anything out of us. He puts his life in us. He gives us that new nature. And you know he puts in us a seed. Just like a seed came from my father to my mother, and in that seed contained everything that I would be, we were gotten again by the seed of Christ, the seed of God put in us by an incorruptible seed. And he that's born of God cannot sin. And how many times did John say, he that's born of God, he that's born of God, he that's born of God? He just automatically believes and says that he that's born of God is this way, does this, and acts that way. And God gives us this new nature. And he makes us a partaker of the divine nature. And this is what's... How in the world did we go from not wanting God to that's all we do want? How did we go from having a nature where he never entered our minds and now he stays continually on our minds? What happened to us that we breathe nothing but iniquity but now we want to breathe nothing but holiness and be in an atmosphere like this? And I tell you, one of the fundamental laws of God in creation is that like produces like. Ain't that what happened in the... Like produces like. Flesh produces flesh. Spirit produces spirit. Oh, beloved, the character and the nature of the new birth. Oh, beloved, it's not the reformation of the outward man. It's not the education of the natural man. That's what a lot of folks think. If we can just educate them. Now, teaching, our Lord, you know, John Nicodemus called him a teacher. And we teach the saints of God, but men need a Savior, not a teacher. And oh, beloved, and I'll tell you, it's not the education of the natural man. You can't educate yourself into the kingdom of God. And you can't have this idea that I was converted over there in Arminianism and I just grew into the grace of God and I'm just more mature and understand better understanding of things that I had before. And that's not the way it works. You don't get educated into the grace of God. You don't get educated into the kingdom of God. You get born into the kingdom of God. And then that's when God starts educating you. The first education you have is that humiliation you're talking about. And oh, it's not the purification of the old man. Clean it up all you want to. But it's the creation of a new man. By His own will begat He us with the word of truth. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And in this birth, we have two natures. And you know, let's look at it again. Bruce looked at it, but I want to look at it again. Galatians 5 with me, just a minute. Galatians chapter 5. In this new birth, we have two natures. Let me ask you something. Did you ever have a problem with sin until you got converted? Did you ever have a problem with sin? Did you ever have a problem with your flesh? Huh? Did you? Galatians 5:17. Look what it says here. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. There's just, and that's just like two armies. You know, it's and if you've ever been in the military, you know they set you against enemies. You set against it. And that's what this is. It's the flesh and the spirit. They're just like this here. In my old fallen nature. And the spirit there's capitalized. That's the spirit of God. And here my flesh is, you know, and watch what happens. And these are contrary, the one to the other. Flesh and spirit, they're contrary. And this is what he says, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Anybody here as spiritual as you'd like to be? Anybody here as fleshly as you could be? You know why? Spirit won't let you be as fleshly as you want to be. And the flesh won't let you be as spiritual as you want to be. Ain't that right? And I never had a problem with either one of them until I got converted. I never had a problem with sin. Did you, Tom? I could say it. I never got up and regretted anything I'd done during the day. I never did. I just, you know, whatever I said, whatever I did had no regrets about it. I'll tell you, the only thing I regretted was if I got out on Friday night, my check was gone when I got up Saturday morning, I had to borrow money for the rest of the week. That's the only thing I regretted. I'd always promised myself I'll never do that again. And I'm not trying to make light of it, but that's the things that I regretted. I didn't regret sin. I didn't regret what I'd done to my wife or my kids. But boy, when this new birth comes, you start seeing things you never saw before. You start seeing sin like you never saw sin before until life came. You never saw righteousness in the need of it till life came. You never saw God till life. You wasn't conscious of God. You wasn't conscious of Christ. You wasn't conscious of sin. You wasn't conscious of God. You wasn't conscious of the Bible. And what happened that made you conscious of that one day? One day you're not, and the next day you are. Oh, my. Huh? Oh. Our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happens. Look what He says here again. In verse 7, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And oh, ain't you grateful that the long for the day that when this old corruption, that's what this body's called, this flesh is called corruption, a dead, wretched man. Ain't you look forward to the day when God will just rip this off of us? Never have to deal with it ever again. Never had to deal with depression or fear or anxiety, or never had to have the burden of the way of the Lord on you when you get up to preach ever again? Won't that be something? I never thought about any of those things. I never even thought about heaven. Didn't even know if there was such a thing. And now I have a long to go. I want to go home. I ain't never been home, but I want to go home. You know why I want to go home? Because I got a home to go to. But look what he says. Our Lord says there in verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." Don't marvel at it. Don't be amazed. Don't begin to wonder that I told you, you must be born again. Now you're talking about strange language to this man. This is real strange language to him. Only thing he knows is salvation by law. Only thing he knows is salvation by works. Only thing he knows is Moses. Only thing he knows is what he can do himself. His washings and his church attendance and his scripture reading and his prayers and his fasting and his tithing. That's you talking about strange. You must be born again. Marvel not. Don't stand in wonder and amazement at it. You're not talking about strange language. My, why are you talking about a new birth? I go to synagogue every Saturday. I go pay tithes of everything I possess. I do all these works. And I'm a ruler. I'm a master. But oh, our Lord Jesus says, marvel not. Now he's being taught that salvation is a gift of God. It's not something you earn. It's not something you deserve. It's a gift. It's an event in which man is of necessity passive. This gift of God in this life, a man is necessity passive. A person can do nothing about this birth. He's passive in it. How much did you have to do with your first birth? Absolutely nothing. Did you? And that's the same way with this. And like Bruce said, it's so necessary for us to preach the gospel. Because that's what God uses to save His people. And you know, and a person can do nothing. This is not a moral duty, but it's a divine decree. God says you must be born again. He ain't saying when our Lord says you must be born again, He ain't saying by all means see that you do it and do whatever's necessary to get the new birth. That's not what He's talking about. No, He means something must happen to you. Something must be done for you. And I tell you, just had nothing to do with my first birth. I had nothing to do with His second birth. And that's why our Lord went on to say about how this thing happens. He says, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell when it cometh, where it goes, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. You know, and He uses the wind here as a emblem of the Holy Spirit. Blows where and will as it pleases. Our Lord has hit here the beginning and processes of life. That we live, we know. I don't need a birth certificate to show you all that I'm alive. That I was born. You know, I don't need that. No more than I need one to know that God's given me the new birth. But we live, we know. But how we live, we just can't tell you. We just can't tell you. People used to say when I was back in religion, you know, you had to have a time and a place. You had to have an experience. And if you didn't have that time and place and that experience, they just didn't believe you had anything. But now when I was converted, I can't tell you. I just know that I have been. I know I wasn't converted till I heard the gospel. I know I wasn't converted till I heard Christ. I know I wasn't saved until I had Christ as my all. That only His righteousness and His alone was all I trusted in. I do know that. And I know this, life is evidence to the conscious and manifest to our senses. But it's so mysterious how it operates. And that's the new life, beloved, that's born of the Spirit. I mean, you know, here you are, a person sitting in a sermon. The wind blows, that's a fact. The wind blows, that's a fact. But it blows when and where it pleases. It's sovereign in its action. And it's mysterious in its ways of coming and going. You know, we're preaching the gospel. We don't know where the wind's blowing. It may be coming as a rushing mighty wind over there. It may be a gentle breeze over here. But it had the wind blows. And it goes where it wants to. You know, we want God to save certain people. And we pray for them, pray for our children and that. But the wind blows where it pleases. Sovereign, mysterious in its way of coming and going. Huh? You can't tell where it's going. You can't tell when it's going to come. And I'll tell you something else, it's irresistible. He comes in power. I don't care how He comes, but when He comes to a soul, He comes in such power. He breaks down prejudices. Huh? Subdues a man's will. Overcomes everything in that soul that opposes God and opposes Christ until the sinner throws up his hand and says, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? And then look what it says. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. You know the wind's invisible. It is invisible. You can see its effect, but you can't see the wind. You can't see the wind. You can feel it. You can see it blowing through trees. We can see rain. We can see snow. We can see lightning. We can see hail. But you can't see wind. Only way you can see wind is if it's blowing through a tree. It's moving something. That's the only way you can tell. And it's invisible and it's irregular. You can hear it. I can sit in my house sometimes and I hear the wind going through the trees. It sounds like somebody coming down the road because it's going the way it goes through them pine trees. It sounds like somebody's coming down the road. Jump up and look out the window. It's the wind of the tree. And sometimes it comes in great power. Sometimes it comes as a gentle breeze, barely perceptible. Sometimes it's raging. Sometimes it's gusting. But I do know this. Wherever it goes, you know where it's been. You know where this blowed on you. Huh? You don't know where it is and where it comes. That's the mystery behind the fact. The wind's indispensable. I know the soul who has experienced the new birth knows he has new life. He has new life. One day he's sitting there and he hears things he never heard, sees things he never saw. He's been sitting there listening to you for years or months. And all of a sudden, you start watching him change. He starts listening, starts singing, starts talking to you, starts getting CDs, starts getting tapes. But he starts enjoying the evidence of it. But how the Holy Spirit operates upon a soul, we don't know. Only God knows. Ain't that right? Only God knows what's going on in a man's heart right here, right now. Only God knows. Huh? Only God knows whose will He subdued. Only God knows who He's imparted life to. Only God knows. But I do know this, that He will get His own. And He'll give life to whom He will. And all life belongs to Christ. He says, the Father hath given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to all that Thou hast given me. Thank you.